Well, as in the role that you are as an SLP, I'm sure some of the things that you're dealing with as well is our kids, they don't speak English. They don't even speak American. I mean, we can say there's English and we speak American and stuff like that. They have their own language. I mean, you have a code book of away from screen or BRB or, I mean, language with that where they've transformed a language. And again, as humans, we've evolved and our languages have developed over years and stuff like that. Now there's a whole new transition of language change that they speak their own language. And
it's
the difference between that language and educational language. So when they two type up, I mean, I look at some of the answers our students put on their assessments and stuff like that. I'm like, I can't interpret this. I don't understand what they're trying to say. And I'm like, come on, write it, put it correctly. But I know there's challenges out there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Jason Gribble. Jason is the Assistant Superintendent for Secondary Curriculum and Operations at Taylor School District in Taylor, Michigan. Jason, it's great to have you here today.
Great having me here as well, I guess. No, thank you for the invite. I'm really looking forward to sharing our story and being a part of what we are offering today. Hopefully that we can have an impact on other educators out there that are battling the same things that we are, knowing that we're in the trenches, and especially as assistant superintendent. I'm not really in the trenches, but I'm in the command center helping, making sure that the troops are doing what they're supposed to be doing and moving forward.
Absolutely. And it's a key role. It's a critical role. How many students do you have in your district?
We have about 3,800 students.
Not a tiny little number for sure.
No, we're a very large district. We're one of the third largest districts in the Wayne County area outside of Detroit Public Schools. So, I mean, we have very large boundary. And a few years ago, we actually, when one of the school districts kind of disbanded, we took over a portion of that area. So we have, I mean, we take students from a very large area. I mean, we have the one high school, we have a career center, we have a virtual program, we have two middle schools, and we have seven elementary schools in our district. So it kind of gives you an idea how big we are with that.
And you told me you have a special project you're working on. I'd love to hear about that.
So the thing that we're working on in our district, and it's not just our district, it's not just countywide, it's statewide, it's a nationwide issue that's kind of going on, and it's a theme that a lot of districts are starting to lean this direction, is the communication devices in school. And it's, I mean, so for anybody that's in the shoes that we sit in and dealing with the stuff that we deal with in schools today, there's many people, everybody is like, hey, you've been doing education for almost 30 years now. And so you've seen things change and you've seen how cyclical things are, especially in the area of education. What would you say is probably one of the downfalls of education right now? And I wouldn't say it's cell phones, because it's a tool. If it's used properly in schools, it's a tool, but unfortunately it's social media. You bring social media in, and the research is out there in regards to, because this generation that we are currently teaching right now, especially the generation that came out of COVID, still trying to, in essence, fix the wounds that COVID had on education, and because we had to go virtual and get all our students Chromebooks and change how education was. But today, everybody has a cell phone. I mean, my eighth grader has a cell phone. We wouldn't get her one until she got into the middle schools, and I had to hear, but Dad, everybody else, no. Then my wife, who's a high school counselor, so she sees it on a different end with how technology and how cell phones and communication devices have kind of interfered with what she's trying to do as a high school counselor. We're both in education. We're like, no, if you're getting a cell phone, you're getting a bark phone. And if you don't know what a bark phone is, it's still a cell phone, and if you're in education, you know what bark has behind the scenes that we use to, if there's any type of bullying, it monitors all kind of within your LMS. If they're saying anything and using it, a district device, we get notifications. So they have a cell phone that does the same thing, that we get notifications of if she makes a comment that's inappropriate. If her friends say something that's inappropriate, we get notifications on that. She can't just randomly pick friends and put it in her phone. It has to come to us. We got to find out who they are before they can even add it in there. But I mean, I'm not trying to do a plug. I don't work for Bark, but I'm just.
Bark like BARK?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I know a lot of people have Life 360 on their phones and stuff like that. So yeah. They just track all this, but Bark's a little bit more restricted in regards because, oh, there's no internet service. They can only use Wi-Fi. She can't download the app. She can't get on YouTube. She can't get out there in the world. So she can't use it.
She doesn't have that exposure. It is.
So she doesn't have to worry about the latest TikTok fad or Instagram or all the things that those kids go to, Snapchat. She doesn't have to worry about all that because she can't download it on her phone. Mm-hmm. So that's a benefit. So knowing that we are battling these challenges of these communication devices in school, because I mean, the research is out there. I mean, the dopamine that this little device does to an adolescent child whose brains are not fully developed. I mean, research is out there that since 2010, the amount of anxiety that students start dealing with since cell phones and all these communications devices out there has gone up from 2010 to now has gone up 134%. To anxiety with students. Then you have depression, which is up 106%. Students dealing with issues like ADHD is up 72%. The research is out there. I mean, you can ChatGPT it. You can pull all this stuff up, but the things that we deal with, especially at the secondary level, at the middle school and the high school, are these kids are on their phones constantly because they're got to find out what's going on Instagram. They got to make sure they're getting their likes. So you got all different type of cyberbullying going on. I mean, the majority of the physical confrontations we have with students stems from something that happened
on social media.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, it was people passing notes.
Right. You looked at my girlfriend wrong or something, right?
Exactly. But it all stems from there. And then, I mean, and you can see it on Instagram. You can see it on TikTok, all those platforms, any type one of these physical confrontations comes out and you can see it out in just general public, what happens? They don't go to break up the fight. They're like, oh, no, I got to be the first one to try to record it on my phone, post it out there. So a lot of the things that we deal with in regards to student discipline and student engagement and all those things, again, if you're using it as a tool, if I'm teaching biology, I may create a Kahoot for students to do educational technology and use Kahoot to be able to play that game. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen as often as it should. And here's the other thing. All of our kids are walking around the hallways with a Chromebook. So they can Chromebook, they can jump on, they can do the Kahoot right on their Chromebook.
Right. But why do they need the phone, right?
Exactly. And what if I need to call my mom and dad? I'm like, we have phones in the classroom. There's a phone in the office. I mean, good luck today trying to walk a hallway and find a pay phone because
it doesn't exist. Yeah.
Go anywhere to find a pay phone, but there's no pay phone. So, I mean, and those are the conversations we've had, like, well, I need to communicate with my child. You can call up to the school. We have secretary. Yeah. Oh, we'll pull the kid out of the class. If there's nothing going on, we can transfer the phone call into the classroom and you can talk to your child for whatever reason. I mean, we all made it through school without cell phones for years. But in the last 10 to 12, 15 years, since it's starting to become more predominant, and I mean, depends on, I'm an Android guy, I'm an iPhone, and it doesn't matter. But for these adolescent learners, it's such a distracting tool that we are now in a process. And then Governor Whitmer, who was the governor of the state of Michigan when she did her State of the State address, even addressed it then. She's like, we need to get cell phones out of school. We got to get these communication tools out of school. So there have been many bills that have tried to go through the House and the Senate. Some pass, some fail because they're tying other things to that. But her biggest thing was, we need to do something different. So we are really moving forward, and actually we're addressing it tonight at our board meeting and sharing it out as part of our, my superintendent, he's doing his superintendent report, is sharing it. Say, hey, families, we're letting you know. So we're sharing it now. School's 3 weeks away, that at the secondary level, especially the high school, cell phones, communication devices are no longer allowed in school. And across the threshold of the school, when you walk in that building, cell phones need to be off and put away. Cannot be in the hallway, they cannot be used at lunch, which for some of our seniors, they're probably going to have an issue with that. We've had this model at our middle school for a few years, so they should be used to it.
Right.
Like, I mean, our freshmen and sophomores are going to be like, yeah, okay, we kind of had that rule when we were in middle school, but now they're just moving it up here.
Right.
But a lot of the stuff that we're really implementing is part of what's already in our board policy. It's just, I mean, over the last 3 years, I'm come Halloween of this year, I'll be in my, I've completed my third year in the district.
Okay.
Here. So, but my superintendent, he was hired 2 months before I was. The other superintendent was hired a month before I was. So our cabinet level in regards to our central office administration is still, we're all new.
Right.
I'm not new to the position, but I'm new to the district.
Yeah.
But this is the feedback that we're getting from our administration. And like, we need to really enforce this policy to try to eliminate these problems. So, and again, we're not the only district in our area that is doing it. There's many neighboring districts that have already implemented. They are already, they're going on year two. And here's some of the growing pains. They're like, yeah, your first month of school is going to be a battle because they're not used to it. But by the second or third month, usually like you leave around Halloween, you don't have as many issues that you normally have with this. But we just had our administrative retreat yesterday, and we were talking about this because here's the thing with this. It can't just be the administration that's going around being the cell phone police.
We need
teachers to also model the same behavior, because I know I'm going to get a phone call, or my principal is going to get a phone call from a parent going, well, you banned cell phones, but Jimmy said that the teacher was on her cell phone the entire time in the classroom while they were supposed to be doing their work. So again, if we're enforcing this rule, this new policy, and it's not even a rule, it's a policy. It's a new, it's good policy. Staff, you have to model that, because if we get those phone calls, we're going to be having those conversations with you. I'm like, you're not helping. But the other thing that we brought up yesterday when I was meeting with my administrative team was we need to prepare our social workers, our counselors, and all the different resource people that we have on campus, because some of these kids are going to probably go through some type of
withdrawal. Yeah, for sure.
And we're either going to need to do some groups, we're going to have some sessions, we're going to have to prepare these kids, because once they get untethered from that device, how are they going to react? Because again, you can't go anywhere. You go to a mall, you go to a restaurant. I mean, it turned into the babysitter. You go to a restaurant right now and you see little kids, not in preschool. What are they doing? They're on a tablet. Phone, because
that great big bumper thing on it.
The crash proof case that they put. My daughter had one of them as well, but you can't go anywhere now without the kids. They want to be on a device, and God forbid they have a conversation. I mean, we have our house that no cell phones are at the table. If the phone rings, they can leave a message. And
that's still the policy at my house. You know, it's like if I get on the phone, then they're allowed on the phone. That's one of the things. Like, if I'm going to do it and I have a reason for doing it, then you can absolutely. But the second I put it down, boy, you better put yours down too. Cause you know, if I'm getting you over here to have a meal with me, let's have a meal together and not be. And when we're out at a restaurant, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, it never ceases to amaze me how people can be sitting there and they're together, but they're not even interacting because they're on their phones the whole time.
Communication whatsoever. I mean, and we even have that rule. When we do go out to dinner and stuff like that, the rule is cell phones stay in the vehicle charging. We're not
taking them in. That's a really good policy too. It's a great one.
Stay in the car, lock the car up, and we're good to go. Because we're going to have conversations, we're going to talk. And that's...
Yeah. We all feel it. Students are struggling more than ever with emotional and behavioral challenges. Lighthouse Therapy offers virtual, hybrid, and in-person behavioral and mental health support that builds around your school environment. Our licensed professionals are trauma-informed, experienced, and trained to work with K-12 students and staff. You don't get a cookie-cutter approach. You get a partner who listens, adapts, and builds trust. Because when students feel safe and seen, they thrive. Learn how you can get support at your school at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together. And it's an interesting dynamic that schools, you know, think about how, okay, so I'm 57, I'm not young. I grew up and I'm a Gen Xer, you know, or whatever. And, you know, drinking from the hose. I've seen that meme a million times. And just, you know, we played outside and we did lawn darts and all these crazy things that they show how we grew up and no seatbelts. And it's a totally different world. But you look at even the last 20 years, how far technology, and now we've got AI on top of that. And these kids, they don't, my daughter, she's 27. She was born in 98 and she loves to say that she's older than Google because she was born in January and Google was established in like July. So she's like got 6 months on Google. So these kids, they don't know a world without technology, without it being there, without, and now it's just, we thought when it started, it was going to be a great thing. And it can be if you do it properly, but that's the problem is that all of these negative things have popped up and they're just a part of what they, I mean, cell phones aren't even phones anymore. They're a little mini computer that they have that happens to make phone calls. Right. Yep. So, yeah.
Yeah. It was, we were even, and I joke about that all the time when someone asks a question like, hey, so who was that baseball player that this happened to? Oh man, I can't remember. I'm like, gosh, I wish we had a small little device that I could look something up like that, that was right in the palm of my hand. I mean, yes, the convenience of having mini computer and exactly. I mean, yeah, we have Chromebooks and yes, we have laptops, but I mean, some of these cell phones are more powerful than MacBooks or Chromebooks or anything like that. It does the same thing. And I mean, and you mentioned AI. I mean, that could be a whole nother podcast.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But again, if it's used properly and is used as a tool and not just, all right, there's, if you're done with your math work and stuff like that for the next 20 minutes, go ahead and get on your phone and do whatever. Well, that's when the problems start. Yeah, it's, so we've modeled a lot of the stuff off of what the other districts have done.
Yeah.
We've modeled what the governor was asking and what some of the state bills that were going through that even got turned down of still modeling that. I mean, our elementary use right now, it's not an issue. I mean, there's no cell phones in our middle school. They've been really good about that. No, same thing. You walk in the threshold, phones off, phones put away. If you get caught with it, it gets confiscated. The first time it gets confiscated, you can pick it up at the end of the day. Second time it gets confiscated, your parents have to come pick it up. Third time it gets confiscated, the parents have to come pick it up. And then there's an additional consequence, either in-school suspension, detention. I mean, we have a progressive discipline.
Yeah, nice.
But even some of the conversations with the parents that we've seen that I talked to, like after board meetings, because they kind of hear this is coming down the pike, is like, thank you. Thank you. Because, yeah, I mean, she's like, why am I getting a text at work at 11:30 in the afternoon when I know they're supposed to be in math classes or their class? And why am I getting this text message? Or why are they even on their phones? And then we're going to hear the complaint like, well, if I don't have my cell phone, then I can't listen to my music in class. I'm like, all right, show me the research where it says it's okay to listen to music that's going to be distracting you when you're trying to focus and do new learning. I mean, and again, anybody can pull research up for contrary, because some people can pull research up to the positive component of it. What is best practices? And in the world of education, we try to look at all the best practices as possible. And when we look at the idea of these communication devices, and again, it's not just cell phones, it's smartwatches. I have a smartwatch on my wrist right now that constantly getting updates and stuff like that. But we're so technologically heavy, especially in the world of education, because everybody's trying to come up with the next best app, or this is the greatest tool that's going to solve your MTSS problem. This is going to your students are performing well in the SAT and math. Oh, we've got a tool for you. And I'm like, well, that's great tool, but where's the relationship piece? And the gun AI, and that's the biggest, you always hear that debate, like AI is going to replace teachers. No, AI is not.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It can't. That it cannot, it can't do the human factor. There's the human factor, and it's only regurgitating what it's trained to do. So you know,
ask right.
Yeah.
So those are like I said, we're presenting it tonight at our board meeting. Our administration's on board with this. We're looking at what other districts are doing and modeling that. Like our neighboring district, or the superintendent did a video, did a vlog post, posted mm-hmm. site just to again get the message out. So that's our plan. I think Friday is sitting down with my superintendent, logging into Zoom and doing a Zoom. I've already got the script made up for him in regards to this is what we want to say, but we want to communicate it out to the families as soon as possible, because we don't want everybody discovering this new policy on the first day of school and going, right. Yeah, I have a cell phone in school. What do you mean I can't have my device? I mean,
somebody's still going to, no matter what you do, no matter. And the interesting thing too, is I have one of my first podcasts. We started doing podcasts in April. And I think one of the first or second ones in Maine, they had done it. They had used some of their ESSER money and bought these little packets that the phones have to go in and they have to lock them and everything. And it was really a great conversation. So it's not just Michigan. It's definitely not. And it needs to be nationwide. There needs to be, and you know, I'm an advocate for doing what's best for kids. Right. And the social emotional, you know, you talk about social emotional learning and talk about buzzwords in education, but this is a pandemic. I mean, it really is a serious problem with children. And as a speech language pathologist that runs a teletherapy company, you know, I mean, we're seeing it, we're hearing it, we're being asked, do you have counselors? Do you have, you know, social workers? Yes, we have those, but it's just, it's a result of a lot of this stuff that's happening, and these kids are just, it's heartbreaking, because the second that it goes off, mine's sitting over here, you know, I have it off screen. It's here no matter what. I have my phone, and as adults, we have this same issue. I think, you know, it's hard when you become dependent on something. And yep. I actually, for me, I started crocheting. I love to crochet. I'm 57. How cliche is that? But I'll tell you, I'm on my phone 3 to 4 hours less than I was in December, because I started doing something else and mm-hmm. I feel better. And, you know, and I'm not a 16 or 17 year old impressionable student who needs her likes and her checks, and you know, and still
find what's going on in the world and all that
right?
stuff.
Yeah.
And again, that's the advantage that we have with using the BART phone with my daughter, is just she's not able to have those connections.
Yeah.
Unless she grabs my phone, which she knows that she's not supposed to, but can I play a game on your phone? Yeah. And then but she'll go through and she'll check and like, well, why are you texting somebody when you're using my phone? So guess what? Mm-hmm. You're not using your phone anymore.
Right.
It's those things. But you said it. It's a pandemic. It really is. Mm-hmm. Is so preparing. And again, that was part of our conversation that we had yesterday, is we got to prepare for the slide. Mm-hmm. You know there's going to be a slide with some of our kids, because mm-hmm. you're taking their world away from them.
Yeah.
And then, but God forbid they have a conversation with somebody during lunch instead of everybody sitting on their phone and trying to get up to date with what they missed in the last hour and a half that they didn't have the phone.
We're instant gratification, right? It's all about instant gratification. Right, whereas you said something previously where it's like, who was the I don't remember that what you said.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, who's the baseball player? And
yeah, that, baseball player. Well, there was a funny one out there, probably Facebook or something, one of those anyway. But and it was like, we didn't know. Well, we couldn't answer that question when we were growing up. And it was like, who's that? And if you didn't have the information, you just didn't have the information. Move on. You know, we might find it later, but it's like you
don't grab a book.
Yeah.
Don't grab a book. Exactly. These kids have no idea what we had to do in our day of having to do a research paper and go
right.
to the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah, no kidding.
We couldn't just Google anything. We had to actually right. look it up and go to a library and pull a book off the shelf and actually read something.
We didn't even have one at our house. Our my best friend, when I was growing up, her parents had one. And so if I needed it, I had to go down the street to their house to borrow that particular book and get what I needed and put it. Oh my goodness. It's just such a different world. And you know what? We're healthy. We're thriving. We're alive and well, and you can live without your cell phones. Yeah, exactly. We survived.
And you mentioned it earlier. I mean, I grew up in the country, so
yeah.
You wanted a drink, you went to the garden hose.
You did, yeah.
We played lawn jarts.
Yep.
Good luck to find those today, unless you go to an antique shop.
Yeah.
But, I mean, building ramps and jumping our bikes on ramps with 2x4s we took out of Dad's garage, and, I mean, the scars on the elbows and knees approve it, but here I am. I survived.
Yeah, there was even a public service announcement. It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are? Because they've been outside all day. Played outside all summer long. And it was, and you know, no shoes. We would run around. My feet were like leather on the bottom. We had these, I have a little scar right here and between my eyes. We played with the landscape rocks because they, and I grew up in Nebraska, and they had the, when they would come and get the trash, they would go in the alley, you know, between the two houses, there was an alley. Not everybody has it. I thought everybody had an alley growing up, and we would take those landscape props and toss them at each other. My brother got me right between the eyes when I was, and your head bleeds. So I'm just all bleeding and screaming, and our next door neighbor hears me and comes and gets me in the house and helps, gets my mom. But it was so, you know, that's how we grew up. We grew up outside doing things, and never would I have thought. I mean, even the job that I have today as an owner of a teletherapy company, you know, when I graduated in 94, you know, as an SLP, the internet was just a thing that they were kind of sort of talking about, this thing that was happening. And that's only 31 years ago. So, you know, it's a totally different world, and they don't know. They don't know a world without it. I applaud you guys for fighting this fight, because we need to win this generation back from social media, for sure.
Well, and it is in the role that you are as an SLP, I'm sure some of the things that you're dealing with as well is our kids, they don't speak English.
Yeah.
They don't even speak American. I mean, we can say there's English and we speak American and stuff like that. They have their own language. I mean, you have a code book of away from screen or BRB, or I mean, language with that, where they've transformed a language.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as humans, we've evolved and our languages have developed over years and stuff like that. Now there's a whole new transition of language change that they speak their own language.
And it's
the difference between that language and educational language. So when they do type up, I mean, I look at some of the answers our students put on their assessments and stuff like that. I'm like, I can't interpret this. I don't understand what they're trying to say. And I'm like, come on. Write it, put it correctly. But I know there's challenges out there, and we know that this is going to be a challenge going into, I mean, we start school on September 2nd. I mean, in Michigan, it's,
yeah. It's August 20th, by the way, because it'll take about 8 weeks for us to 6 to 8 weeks before these go live. So it's good that we're talking about the date, because it does matter. So,
So we start in 2 weeks. In Michigan, we usually start around it. We always start the day after Labor Day. So it's going to be a big transition. And that's why we're trying to get this information out as much as we can to our community. That's why we're sharing it with the board. We're going to try to do the vlog and post that to our website. But I mean, I've even had some of our directors come down like, hey, I hear this is happening. Is this real? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
This is what our administration wants. And knowing that it's kind of being pushed at the state level, coming from Lansing, it's a movement. But if we can tackle this now, but having conversations with neighboring districts that are also going through the same pains, and they're like, tell us how that's happened. And again, we're reaching out to other schools like Ann Arbor schools, where U of M is. They've had this in place for 2 years. Are they still having issues with it? Yes. But you talk to them, it's getting better.
Yeah. And the kids, the one in Maine that I saw, and there's a video, and I'll get you the information afterwards. I can't get it in my head right now, but I'll send it to you. I'll send you the video from the lady that I interviewed then, the kids actually, because it was actually on their local news and I watched that, and they were grateful. And they felt like, you know, a burden had been lifted from them that they felt like they had. And the second that, you know, the phone goes off, even though you're working on something, you've divided your attention and it's really hard to get it back. And they really felt like it was something that they were grateful. I'm sure not every child, not every parent is going to be grateful, but
you always have your 10%.
Yeah, exactly. But for the majority of those kids, kudos to you guys, because it really is something that is going to make their lives better in the long run. So keep fighting the good fight, Jason. It's a tough one, I know, but it's a good one to tackle. So, all right. So where do people go if they want to reach out to you after this episode drops to find out how it's going and to find out, you know, what kinds of things you're doing? If anybody wants to like piggyback on what you're doing, where do they go?
Yeah. So if you're looking for what our policy and the policy that we wrote up, or want to get information, or, and like you mentioned, want follow-up to say, all right, it's October, how is it going? They can easily go to our Taylor Schools website, which is taylorschools.net, or they can reach out to me by email at jason.gribble, which is G-R-I-B-B-L-E, at taylorschools.net. So they can reach out to me, say, hey, I heard the podcast. We want to see, how did it go?
Right.
I'm easily available and willing to share, and all of our trials and tribulations and all the growing pains that we're going through as we get ready to take on this new adventure of, again, eliminating these electronic devices.
Yeah.
Students.
Yeah. I would love to have you on again in a year. Once you've done it for a year, let's talk about it and how it went. I think that would be amazing to do a follow-up podcast. I'd love to do that with you. Yeah. So, okay. And when we do drop it, I'll try to see if our producers can also put a little blurb because we do reels and we do social media posts for them, but we'll try to get some information on our website specifically about this one and how it, you know, follow up with you, how it's gone in the last, cause it'll be about, it's August 20th. So it'll probably be October. It'll be Halloween, close to Halloween when this comes live. So, we'll try to, as the podcast goes, try to give people an update on how it's going there with you.
Yep. So if they want a copy of our policy and all the things that we've shared, I mean, like I said, I mean, hopefully in here in a couple of days, it'll be on our website of our superintendent explaining all our new policy. I don't know if he's going to do it or if he's going to make me do it. You know, superintendent, you get voluntold to do a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you got the shoulders for it though. I think you got the shoulders for it. So good for you
on that challenge.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason, again, for being on Brighter Together, because we really are brighter together.